Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We continue our study of Maseches Kedushin in our Kolel. Those who came Motzei Shabbos to the Malava Malka celebrating the Beis Medrash, and even more those who contributed to the Beis Medrash, we greatly appreciate your support. I want to thank the Frohlich Financial Group, as always, for sponsoring the afternoon Kolel for the year. And this week, the members of Torah Or, who sponsored an appreciation of our Beis Medrash, and as well in memory of Chaya Malka Bas Yechiel Mordechai, who's Neshama Shel Avin Aliyah. Okay, so this is our third or fourth week on the same topic. I want to try to move forward and maybe close it up a little bit, which is the halachas of standing for a Talmud Chacham. We got into this because we've been going through the halachas of Kibud Av V'Em, Kavod and Mora, which included an obligation to stand, for whom or who can be mochel on kavod, a parent, a melech, a nasi, a talmud chacham, and we got into this sugya about standing. Mipnei seva takum, the Gemara went into. We discussed, just to give a little overview, a reminder so far, the Gemara had several machloksim and machloks rishonim, how you define an older person. Is it only the person who is a combination of both has age and chachmah, or is it either or? If you have age and you're an Am Haaretz, or you're a young Talmud Chacham, you have to stand, and that's how we paskin, the Ramah, we saw in Shulchan Aruch paskins, that an older Am Haaretz, not a Russia for sure not, but an older Am Haaretz, or a young Talmud Chacham, also we stand for them as well. We discussed, the Sefer HaChinuch gave the reason why we stand for an older person, even if they're an Am Haaretz, simply by virtue of their longevity, their life experience, they're receiving the Hashgacha Pratis, the providence from Hashem. They have a certain wisdom that comes with experience, even if it's different than a book wisdom. We saw the Minchas Chinuch dealt with the issue of standing for a woman, standing for an Eishes Chaver, standing for a Yom Talmud Chacham. Last week we went through the Tshuva of Rav Avadya and Yochai Das. What age do we define? And here we quoted a Machlokas Rishonim, where the Rush and the Yireim held that Mipnei Seva Takum, who is the older person? The Seva. Hadarta Pnei Zaken, the Zaken is Zekan Chachma, is a young person who's wise. So the Seva is the older person. The Mishnah says Seva is Shivim, 70 years old. So that's the halacha. You start standing for someone when they are 70. However, Unkelus teaches the Pasuk, and the Ari, and the Chidah, and others say as well, based on the Zohar, that no, the Zaken is the older person, and the Zaken in the Mishnah Navos is Ben Shishim, is 60 years old. So how do we paskin? A Kabbalah, it seems like, from 60 years old we have to stand for the person. And Torah Sanigla, it sounds like 70. So we studied the Radvaz, the Tshuva of the Radvaz, who said that when Halacha and Kabbalah are not in conflict, when Kabbalah is adding to the Halacha, then you're entitled to follow Kabbalah. But when they come in conflict, Torah Sanigla and Torah Sanister, then we follow the Gemara, and then we follow the Halacha, and therefore Rav Avadya's conclusion here, where it's in conflict, is that Halacha L'maisa, from when someone is 70 years old. What if you have a Suffolk? Person walks in front of you. You don't know. Maybe they're 69 and 3/4, maybe they're 70 and a half. You don't know. You have some 70-year-olds who look very young. You have some 43-year-olds who look like they're 70. So you don't know. You don't know. Even though my wife made me trim the beard. What can I tell you? I lost that battle. I lost that battle. So we saw, you say it's a din d'oraisa and you go l'chumra. So he quoted the famous machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam, is safek d'oraisa l'chumra, a din d'rabbanan in itself, or a din d'oraisa, which would make standing up d'rabbanan if safek d'oraisa l'chumra is a din d'rabbanan. We saw Rav Avadya had an interesting, some lamdas, an interesting chakira, where he said, one second, maybe you should rely on the chazakah. The chazakah is that someone's not 70 until they're 70. So if you have a suffix whether they're 70, maybe you have the chazakah me'ikara, you have the chazakah they're not 70. But he said, wait, in conflict with that, you have what's called the chazakah dahashta. Chazakah dahashta means that we assume they always were what they are right now until we know when they weren't. So you have chazakahs conflicting in two opposite directions. Maybe chazakah doesn't even apply here all the time, because it's a chazakah that is asuya leshtanos. This is a chazakah which is meant to change. We age every moment of every day. by definition, it's meant to change. All of this we saw last week, which brings us up to page number 10 in the handout. The Tshuvos of Rav Vosner and the Shevet HaLevi. So we still have a few unanswered questions in terms of the Halacha L'maisa. So first is Shevet HaLevi, Rav Shmuel Vosner, who was a Talmud in Lublin, Yeshivas Chochmei Lublin, Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf, his yeshiva in Bnei Brak, in fact, was named for Rav Meir Shapiro. And Rav Vosner, a great posek, who was nifter just a year and a half, 2 years ago maybe. So here in his Tshuvos HaLevi, in his Shevet HaLevi, this is Chelek Hei, Simon Kuf Lamed. He has several tshuvas on this topic, and we'll skim through them. So he writes the following. Asher sha'al b'inyan shekasavti b'Shevet HaLevi Yoredeia, b'inyan kima lefnei isha zekena. See where we are on page 10? Simon Kuf Lamed. He said, that which you've asked, must one stand for an older woman? Minchas Chinuch already dealt with a Talmidah Chachama. And the Minchas Chinuch's conclusion, and Rav Avadya also said, that when we stand, it's not for the Torah knowledge, but it's for the status. A Chacham has a status. A Chacham has an identity. Chacham has a title that has earned the standing. A woman can be an incredible scholar. Bruria was an extraordinary Talmud Chacham. Chazal saw her as being surpassing her brother, being a loyal continuation of her father, of Hananya ben Tradyon. She was a, so to say, intellectual sparring partner with her husband, Reb Meir. So Bruria was an incredible Talmidah Chachama. But the halacha would be, says the Minchas Chinuch, you don't have to stand for her by virtue of being, because she's not a Chacham. She doesn't have the title, she doesn't have the status. So here, Rav Vosner is not dealing with the woman who's a Talmidah Chachama. He's dealing with, what if you have just an older woman? A 90-year-old woman gets on the bus in Israel. Get on the bus anywhere, but if in Israel you think she's Jewish, she gets on the bus. So do you have to stand? Vevesi sham, sefer chasidim, yirda chayavin lamad. Sefer chasidim seems you have to stand. Agon chidaz chusi yagen aleinu beperusha sham maybe quotes from the Ari Hakadosh to en chayavim the gamla laso sider that a zakena is different than a zaken. A zaken is zekana chachma. A zakena is lav davka. This seems to be a machlokas between the Sefer Chassidim who says stand for her, and the Chidah who says don't. Not don't stand, but you're not obligated to stand. What?
Give her a seat.
If you're a decent human being, you should give her a seat. Question is, there's 10 extra seats. You don't have to give her a seat. There's 10 seats all around. She finds a seat, no problem. Do you still have to get up, though, to show her covered? If a Talmid Chacham walks in the room, or a Zakein, who you know is 70, walks in the room, there could be seats all around you. The question is not giving up your seat. The question is, do you have to stand to show honor? So here too, the parallel question. The issue is not whether she can find a seat. The issue is whether you have to stand in order to show her covered.
What happens if she's a wife of the
Talmud? Eishes chaver we saw. Eishes chaver kechaver based on the Gemara in Shavuos. And the Minchas Chinuch had a suffix. If her husband died, does she continue to keep her card, her membership in the Eishes chaver club? Maybe she keeps her card unless she remarries a non-chaver. As long as she doesn't remarry a non-chaver, she remains an Eishes chaver even after the chaver died. Others say, no, she wrote his coattails. If he's no longer here, she's no longer an Eishes chaver. But anyway, back to our question.
Does a zaken have to stand up for another zaken?
So we also talked about that last week a little bit. I was supposed to give you... So there are people who are malamed tzchus on the minhag that they don't. That we assume that within each category, the Talmid Chacham is entitled to be mochel... The other Talmud Chacham, the Zaken can be married the Zaken, the Zakena the Zakena, and so on and so forth. There is Mechila. And we assume there's a implicit or a presumed Mechila, as we said last week. Otherwise, in Century Village, nobody would ever sit down. So he quotes here from the Tshuvos Beis Yehuda, Tegam epnei isha seva chayav lakum, udolo, and unlike these other opinions. And he says, what's my opinion about it? Hinei, second underline. Le'inyan eshes chaver, vadei mashmo shas, Uposkim the Chayavan Lama Bechaya Chaver. Akoponim Yikar Adin Doraiso Udrabonon Ulacha Petiroso Midrabonon Midis Chasidus. So an Eishes Chaver, when the wife of a Talmud Chacham, so you have to stand. Some believe it's Doraiso, some say it's Durabonon. Everybody agrees after the husband died, it's still Durabonon. By the way, which makes sense that the Rabbanon would institute, you still do it because you're going to cause pain to this Almana. Not only did she lose her prominent husband, but now she went to being a nobody. she was a somebody when she was this prominent Rebbetzin in her own right, let's assume. But also because of her partnership with her husband and his prominence. Now he dies. You're going to say to her, you're a Gornisht. We used to stand for you. We used to. And to stop, you know, it's one thing to never have done it, but to do it and stop doing it? So it makes sense that at least midrabanan la'achar p'tiraso, or maybe it's just a midas chasidus, but it should be done. But what about our isha zakena she'ena ishas chaver? An older woman who's not married to a talmud chacham, who's not herself a talmidah chachama. What? So is she like a zakin? That's exactly the shaila. The zakin you stand for, even if he's on his own. The zakin ashmai. He's an Am HaAretz, according to Tosfos. That was the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. So what about this Zekeinu? So he says, really, I want to be noted Keshita Sa'ari HaKadosh Usveko Shod Shel Baal. Whoever that is. Eina Osa Zirak L'Safik Baal Lachi Kevin Shepshar Poskim Mefurish L'Chayef Mashmos V'Inkem Esup M'Safik Hayachayef Lamod Lassos HaKoponim Eza Hider Apiyam Mavur Yardeh. So he says, I'm not sure. I really want to say that as a Kena you don't have to stand for. But since there are many poskim who say you do, so stand for her, at least give her a hider. If you don't give her a kima, if you don't stand all the way, at least give her a nod, at least show a shtuk of cover, a little hider. The end of Avos Deven Shiv Naseva. Here he's saying the same thing that Rav Avadya had quoted, that they seva takum, seva from the Mishnah of us is 70, but the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, quote the Ari and the Zohar, it starts at 60. So when it comes to a man, if you want to be machmir to follow the Kabbalah approach, so start standing from when 60. But here, for a woman, it's like a sik sveka. Suffik if you have to stand for at all. Suffik whether you have to stand from her from 70 or 60. Tiki kein tre sveka la alocha. Chad de mashmaz kobali alocha durak b'shivim kanal. V'od ulai ein chiv kima klal b'isha. Ava achre shivim yesh mokom lahachmir kanal. What's the tzad to say that you don't have to stand at all for the woman? Yeah.
Have you ever met a single woman?
Oh.
She's
good. So I was going to say.
It's an insult.
Yeah, no, you know, when she hits her 100th birthday, I think the cat's out of the bag that, you know, she qualifies for a discount.
Can't y'all say this 65?
Yeah. So, right. So we talked about, what's the downside of standing for somebody? Why not? So here there's a downside. It's covered abrius downside. It's a bizayon. You're going to tell this woman, she says, why is everyone standing for me? I just walked in the room. What are you all standing for? Oh, you look 70. 70? It's my 29th birthday again. Anyway, but he says he's nota lahakel, he wants to paskin like the Ari, you don't have to stand for a zakena at all. Which, as we said, it sounds like a kula, but maybe it's a chumra to be makbar on her kavod not to stand for her. Maybe. But certainly, even according, if you say you have to stand for her when she's 70, you don't have to when she's 60, because it's a treis feke. One, do you stand for her? And two, the machlokas, at what age? Masha kosov.
Oh,
what about a woman standing for a woman?
What?
So you're saying, what about a woman standing for a woman?
Yeah, a young woman.
Yeah.
For
so I think it'd be the same thing. The same halacha. That it's nice to after 70, but you don't have to as of 60. Yes. I didn't see. I will not tell you that I've scoured all tshuvas on this topic. I did not see that after 70 there's a difference in age. I think once you hit the after 70, you're in the after 70 club. Is it appropriate that the 71-year-old should still stand when the 110-year-old walked in? It's nice. But I did not see that there's a difference once you pass the 70 mark. What? Nice, so it's the mitzvah, but maybe there's mechila. But the question is, does the older, maybe the younger has to stand for the older even after 70? That was the question. Hold on. Right. Oh, right. So Mr. Gunstein raises a question. Why would the guy notice a woman walked by? What do you mean he's standing for her? Her face is not in a magazine. He doesn't know what a woman looks. He doesn't know how would he know? It's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Once she's 100, it's okay to notice her. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
A 10-year gap. So like a 70-year-old.
Yeah, I didn't see that. We learned Rav Avadia's tshuva. We learned it last week's tshuva. We didn't see that. I don't know. But let's keep going. Mashakasa kvod b'shem Hagon Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld Chus Yagin Aleinu Dari Hakadosh Nischavin Rakim Eni Yadua Barabim Eishes Mihu Deim by Lamechubad B'Torah Chayav Anlakum Divrei Tamim. He said, this question of the Ari is when no one knows who she is. But if you know that she is married to a Talmud Chacham, Mechubad B'Torah, I don't know that's a Talmud Chacham, that sounds like a lower level. He's Mechubad B'Torah. I don't know where that rates next to being a Talmud Chacham. V'derech klal kevin devad agam l'ari ein nisur akoponim lakum im mechivan rak l'mitzvah l'shar poskim chayev advarim notim diesh l'achmir k'nizke l'el k'mashkosu k'vod b'shem v'sim l'schayim shmiv b'shem agon bal tzof nas paneach b'nit tzovik seiva sh'amar agon sh'darshin et seiva vaday amarach monov lo tzovik seiva sh'das agon rav yosef chayim zonenfeld sh'z a tzovik sh'ef sh'levar m'mei l'tzovik d'orais l'chomra ani lo ra'isi advarim v'kosh l'odin aleim. He says this whole notion, you want to stand. There's no downside to standing. It may not be halachically obligated, mandated. There's not an imperative to stand. But you can, if you're mechavin for a mitzvah. But he says this notion about, what if it's a suffix, whether the person's 70 or not, maybe only save a vaday amarachmana, not save a suffix, like we saw when it came to mamzer and the like. He says, I never heard such a thing. Ibri yeshlomet the suffix with neshishim la'achar shishim, Gamim Nachmir Kari, the Achar Shishim, Karnota Gamma Gon, Minchas Chinach, Mikomokom, Besafi, Kevin, the Ikagam Svik, Bahalacha, Vishitas Roba Post, and Drakach Shivim, Ain Lahachmir. Mashain came Besafi, Kim Lefne Shivim, or Achar Shivim, Yesh Lahachmir. So he says, now there's a difference. What's the question of doubt? Do you have doubt whether he's 59 or 60, or do you have doubt if he's 69 or 70? Well, if your question is if he's 59 or 60, then you'd go Lahakel. Why? Because the whole notion of having to stand at 60 only came from Kabbalistic sources which were not incorporated into halacha. So if already you want to be machmir for that, fine, but a suffik on that, you could be lahakel. But a suffik, whether someone's 70, that you should be machmir. Why? Chad the degam im nidalagon sofnas panach devade seva marachmana domami drabana chaya begam besuffik kechol advar shon adorshan vade amarachmana ubo chachmon vichmir besveikim. Because the if you want to understand the pasuk, seva vaday amarachmana velo seva safik, just like we say meiser vaday velo meiser safik, mamzer vaday velo mamzer safik, in all those cases where we darshan the pasuk is telling me that the halacha only applies when there's a case of certainty, not doubt, that was true on the deoraisa level. But on the derabanan level, the rabbanan came along and said, not so fast, just because it's a mamzer safik, true mi deoraisa, it's nisht mamzer. Or true, it's not meiser. But midrabanan, it still is. So says the Shevet Alevi, that would be true here. Even if you want to use the lumdus of the Rogachever, that save a vada amachmanav lo save a suffik, that should be obligated to araisa. But still midrabanan, you would. Vod, and secondly, besuffik nevishivim, hareika dasa ari lahachmer kopa mishishim. If you have a suffik of 70 or not, you could always throw in that maybe you're chayev at 69, out's the ari. So your mesupik in two directions. You're mesupik if you're 70 and you're chayev out 70, and you're mesupik, you know you're 60, but you're mesupik if you paskin like the Ari. So those are two sveikos that point to being machmer. On the mesupik la'achar shivim, o adayin lefnei shishim, no fel tam ze hasheni. Okay, that's his opinion. Ve'ein tam shekosu b'shem agon v'yizuchayim zonim v'al machlokes al agon sof nos panayach, devadai sofik shef shalavar eino sofik, now, who says this is a suffix to begin with? When someone walks in front of you and you don't know if they're 70 or not, whether you should stand. So we only call something a suffix in halacha if you can't be mavar. You can't figure it out. But you could ask the guy, how old are you? Can I see your driver's license? Do you have your birth certificate? Do you have your ID? It kind of takes away from the kavod. Do you stand up when you ask him the question? Or so it kind of takes away. But so that's not called a suffix, that's called a chisaron in Yediyah. Now, you might not get excited about that in this shayla, But it is an important topic in other shaylas, in Kashrus, in Yordaya, and elsewhere, where Chesron Yudia, not knowing something, is not called a Safek if it's Efshel Avar, if you could figure it out. So you have a Taroves. A Taroves of food, a Taroves of Kalim, it's not Efshel Avar. You can't figure it out. But you have other shaylas where something is Efshel Avar, you're not entitled to rely on the Safek. The Safek is, that's a whole lumdus in how Safek works. When, just give an example for a moment on this. So the whole notion that that we follow Rov, which based on the parsha a couple weeks ago, the whole notion that we're holach achar Rov. So there's a Ruba de Isa Kaman, a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. There's two kinds of Rov. There's a Rov. Ruba de Lesa Kaman means that Rov people who come to the afternoon kolal enjoy the cookies. That's a Rov. It's a very strong rov. It's a rov and a chazaka, and it's all the above. That's a vada. That's not a suffix. It's not even a rov. But then you have a ruba de'isa kaman. So let's say you have every time you're relying on bittul, you have questions of rov. But you also have called the parish meruba parish. So let's say you're walking, and in the old days, you have five butcher shops on a block, and there's a piece of meat on the sidewalk. And four out of the five butcher shops are kosher, and the fifth one is treif. There's a piece of meat sitting on the sidewalk. So you want to know whether you're entitled to eat or not. So Chazal have a principle called the parsh b'ruba parsh. Every time something is separated, we assume that it became separated from the rov. Became separated from the rov. So that's not true if it's kavua. Kavua is kemechtza amechtza dami. If you went into the store and you bought a piece of meat, and now you had massive amnesia, and you get home, and you don't remember, which store did I buy the meat from? We don't say, well, four out of the five are kosher. Mistama, you bought it from a kosher store. We say, kavua, it was set in place when you took it out. You're the one who extracted it and took it out. So that's kemechta amechta. Then you have to treat it as if it's a 50-50 suffix. You're not allowed to follow the rove. So the fact that you're allowed to follow rove, just as an example, what entitles you to follow rove? Is that a birur? Is that a hachra? Is that a birur or is that a hachra? Is it that the fact that four out of five are kosher and you found it on the sidewalk, you can have such certainty that it came from a kosher store, when you eat it, you're eating it, it's a birur. It's as strong as if you know it with certainty. Or do you say it's a hachra? Look, you have to make a decision. You're either going to treat it as if it's kosher or non-kosher. You're entitled to treat it as if it's kosher, even though ein hachanami, you don't know it with certainty. Is it a hachra or is it a birur? And there's a lot of nafkaminas. I don't want to get into that whole separate sugya. A chazaka doesn't... Well, that might be a difference between a chazaka and a rov, but no, not necessarily. So that's the question. So the whole piece of meat on the side of the store, if it had simonim, if it had something on it that you could be mevar where it came from, you can't sit there and clear this lumdus, well, called the parish meruba parish, it's not kavua. You say, it could be efshel avar. Why don't you look at the package? Let's say it's sitting in a package. You don't want to look at the package. You have to tape it back together. It got torn. But if you looked at it and taped it together, you could figure out where it came from. If it's efshel avar, it's just a chisron yediyah. It's not a suffix. So it's not a suffix. You're not entitled to follow these different positions, whether the position is achra or birur. You're not allowed to follow. By the way, you have this, I'll give you one last example of it. It's just fascinating. It's your day stuff. It has nothing to do with what we're learning here, other than this notion of the suffix and efshel avar. But let's say you have 10 pieces of meat, and there's a non-kosher, you have 9 pieces of meat, a non-kosher piece got mixed in, now you have 10. So now you want to eat a piece, can you eat it?
Yeah.
Why? Because you have rov. You're allowed to follow rov. And the 9 pieces are mevatel, the 1 piece. Assuming they're indiscernible, it's called yavish b'yavish. They're separate pieces, min b'mino. But you're allowed to eat. Here's the question. Here's the question. Can you eat all 10 pieces?
No,
oh. So it's a machlokas rishonim. Many rishonim say, you could eat each piece. Why? Because legabe, each piece, as you're resolving the shaila on each piece you are entitled to eat. Tosas Rud says, that's nice till you get to the 10th piece. Once you get to the 10th piece, you're right. Even the 10th piece, you're entitled to say, maybe that piece is also part of the rov. But you're left with a stira that if you ate all 10 pieces, you vaday ate treif. So we don't know which one it was. So you're entitled to eat 9 because you're always allowed to say, this one's from the rov, the meat's elsewhere. This one's, 9 kosher, 1 non-kosher. You had 10 pieces. So you're entitled to gabe each piece to say, this one came from the rov, the other one's from the meat. But what happens when you get to the point of eating all of them? You now lost the ability to say that. It's intellectually dishonest. True. So do you view it in the micro or the macro? Are you answering the shayla on each piece? Or do you combine the pieces once you get to that point? This has nothing to do with our topics. I want to get back to our tshuva, the Shevet Alevi. Why did I get into all of this? Because I happen to enjoy it. But why did I get into all of this? Because he's talking about when you don't know if the man is 70 or not, whether you should stand or not. He says, maybe it's not a suffix to begin with. You're getting into the shayla. It's 1 suffix, it's 2 suffix, it's fekos, it's a chazaka, demei kara, it's a chazaka dashta. Leave all that out. Why? Efshalavar, it was never a suffix to begin with. All it was a chisaron and yediyah. Kamashin kasa beposkim aval mishkacha suffik dimya efshalavar shein shem nivri yodesh nosa v'gam azaken atzani yodeya. He says you could get to a point where it's a suffik shi efshalavar. How do you go to a suffik shi efshalavar? Someone's not sure how old they are. We have survivors. We have people who came. It's unclear exactly their birth certificate. Their parents told them this date. They think that date. They're not exactly sure if they're 70. So that's an efshalavar shayla. Yes. It's a suffix on a din d'oraisa, which might itself only be midilchumra midirabanan. That's what we had seen in Rav Avadya. No. It's a suffix d'oraisa that maybe he's shivim and you have to stand for him. So you have to go l'chumra, but is the din that you have to go l'chumra itself only d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Right. Now, what if you stood once? So the Talmid Chacham walks into shul, and then he walked out, he walked back in, he comes into the Beis Medrash, he's walking up and down the aisles of the Beis Medrash. How many times do you have to stand for the Talmid Chacham or for the Zakin? We're going to see this still. That somebody who doesn't, a Talmud Chacham, who doesn't stand for his Rebbe, is called a Rasha. Honoring your Rebbe is greater than honoring the average generic Talmud Chacham. There could be an outstanding Talmud Chacham, but he's not your Rebbe. Your Rebbe gave you life. Your Rebbe is like your father. In fact, in a stira between the two, your father gave you life in this world, your Rebbe gave you life in the next world. So Kavod Rabbo is, and Kavod Chacham is greater than, is likened to Kavod Shemayim. V'mkein yeshlomer d'lenyin Kavod Seva adayin svaras Rabbi Yana Ikayim. Te'ena chayev ala shachariz v'arvis. Ela shlaro mishach mechalik b'zeh. Nir ala nezdaiti lefi derech harash b'pashtas hashas yira de'in chiluk. So standing for the older person would be like standing for Talmud Chacham once in the morning and once in the evening. It's not every 3 seconds, but it is once in the morning, once in the evening. So Rav Osner says, maybe you think they are alike. He thinks in the end that they're different. Even if the Talmud Chacham, there's reason to say only stand in the morning and the evening. You're not mevatel Talmud Torah for him. But when you're out in the public square, you're on the bus, you're in the marketplace, and you see the Zakein, maybe you're obligated to stand more often, even more than once. And he leaves it as a question. Okay, page 11. Last tshuva. What? It's a machlokas rishonim. Rabbi Moskowitz teaches after me. He teaches there a day. You'd ask him. Okay, we'll do one more tshuva of Rav Osner, then we'll go weiter in the Gemara.
a mitzvah for a mitzvah? Not to stand up?
Except that the whole mitzvah was designed even while you're learning. So we don't say that for certain things. Like, you have to daven and you're learning. Certain, it's a mitzvah of eris. If you don't stand up, it's a mitzvah of eris.
Yeah.
Okay, Shevet Alevi Chelek Tes, Simen Kuf Tzadiches, another Shaila. Basika Yom Lahashe B'kitzer Asher Shol Ish Seva Shu B'geder Tinuk Shenishba. What's the halacha if not a non-Talmud Chacham old man? Until now we've been talking about a Zaken and a Zakena who are observant, the Yirei Shemayim. They just happen to be Amaratzim. They're ignorant. They're not Talmidei Chachamim. Now, what if it's not just that you're an ignorant but observant Zaken? What if you're a Zaken who's not religious at all? A Machal HaShabbos Zaken. Do you have to stand for a Zaken who's a Machal HaShabbos? How far do you go that you say that there's a life wisdom, a life experience, which in itself is worthy of kavod? Is that true when you have life experience, you have your shemayim, you may be an am haaretz, but at least you're observant? Or would you say that even the chiloni, even the non-observant, older person you have to stand for first? And tzarech lakum lefanav.
The category of tinek shenishma, not
the... Let's see his tshuva. L'mad kai malan kedushin lamed gimel, lamed beis, isi domdim lefnei zakin hashmai. We paskin that you stand even for an ignorant older person. L'peris rashi hu rasha mamish. According to Rashi, remember we said it was a machlokas Rashi Tosos. Tosos held, right? Tosos on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Tosos quoted Kuntras Hashmai Rasha Va'am Haaretz V'Kasha. Hechi kama Isi Ben Yehuda to save a mashma afilo zaken Hashmai Va'alo mitzvah afilo akos lebazos lezalzlo. Remember Tosos was bothered. A Rasha, what's the Havamina you'd stand for? There's a mitzvah to la'akos lebazos lezalzlo, which we don't do today. So therefore Rabbeinu Tam said Hashmai is lashon shomamim. Ashmai Shomim, he's desolate of Torah. But Rashi held Ashmai was a Rasha. And Rashi held Ashmai as a Rasha within the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda. And we pass him like Isi ben Yehuda. The Rama Paskin is not like Rashi, but like Totsos. The Rama held, we stand for an older Am Haaretz as long as he's not a Rasha. So, Tosfos said, you never have a havamina to stand for a Rasha when you're entitled to put him in cheirim and to hit him and to embarrass him and to hate him. However, today's non-observant person, you're not entitled to do those things too. Why? They're a tinok shenishba. V'im kein, ma'u shechayav an lamad lefanav. U'mikoach le'en estapik im chiloni matzli bi'ameinu hu begeder tinok shenishba. What is the status, as Rav Vosner, of a chiloni, a non-observant person who lives in a country club, they didn't go to Jewish school, they don't observe Shabbos, they don't observe Kashrus, they live in our backyard, they walk in the room, they're 80 years old, must you stand for them? On the one hand, we saw that the ignorant but observant Zakein you stand for, so, and the Rasha, the way we paskin like the Rama, Yadavka, don't stand for. So what about this Tinok Shenishba? Are they like a Rasha? Are they like a Zakein Ashmai? Which category do we put them in?
Maybe a kid who grows up, I don't know, in Oklahoma or something, but his mom has is a teenage Shinish. But you can't, with all due respect, it's hard for me to comprehend how a Chiloni in Eretz Yisrael or in Brooklyn, you know, or
so first of all, let's see what he says. Let's see his tshuva. But I'll just tell you, it's very easy to comprehend because you are grossly overestimating how many Israelis know the Aleph Beis. Two Shabbos ago, Miriam Adani spoke here about her work for the Kever Rachel Fund. She's an incredible woman doing amazing things. She single-handedly has saved Kever Rachel. In 2000, when the Second Intifada began and Kever Yosef in Shechem was destroyed, and the security establishment in Israel wanted to shut down access to Kever Rachel for fear the same thing would happen, she got the phone number of the general who was responsible for securing that area. She shepherded him and nudged him and pushed him so she could meet with him. And he invited her to a meeting. Lo and behold, she walked in. It was a meeting of the security establishment. She's you know, what you call Azaz to Kedusha, the chutzpah of Kedusha. And at that meeting, they said, you can come, but you can't say anything. But she insisted, let me say one sentence. And then she said, I didn't tell him it would be a run-on sentence. That would be a... But she got up and she made a very compelling argument. She said, you know, a home without a mother is not the home. It's not the same home. So Eretz Yisrael is our home. if you don't give us access to our mother, all of Eretz Yisrael is not the same home. And that touched the hearts of the security establishment. I'm not going to tell you her whole speech. That led to their keeping it open. They only kept it open during the day, and they made her come up with the money to get the bulletproof buses. It's a whole story. But she wanted it to be open at night. So how did she decide to do it? She said, I'm going to get the same general who's proud that he's opened it during the day. I'm going to call him and say, let's open it for one night, the night of Hanukkah. We'll light candles, Hanukkah candles. And he was hemming and hawing. She said, oh, but I forgot to tell you. I want you to be the one to light the candles. He said, for sure, let's do it. Absolutely. You call the media, everything else. She said, it's unbelievable. She said, it's a general in the Israeli army. It came that night, and she had the rabbi of the holy places there, and he had to show the general how you light Hanukkah candles. Repeat the brach after me. Baruch, baruch, ashik, shalom, mitzvosav, mitzivano, mitzvosav, mitzvosav, mitzivano, mitzivano. So when you say, how could there be a Tinok Shenishba in Israel? It's very easy. You grossly overestimate what the average Israeli chiloni knows the first thing about Torah and mitzvahs and observance and Hashem and Amunah and Bitachon and Tveikas and so on and so forth. And you grossly also overestimate the average non-observant in Brooklyn. The average secular Jew in Brooklyn also. We have an opposite problem. Both the Chiloni in Israel and the average secular Jew in Brooklyn and elsewhere, I'm not ranking on Brooklyn, you mentioned it. Not only are they Tinok Shenishba, but now many of our own community have actually turned them off to wanting to be open. Not only do they not have the background, not only do they not have the access and the information, whatever limited exposure they have had doesn't make them want more, it makes them want less. So we certainly have this category. So what does Rav Vosner say? Again, Zaken Ashmoy. We pass him like Tosos, the Zaken Ashmai is the Am Ha'aretz Zaken. He we stand for. The Rosh Zaken, the Ramah Paskins, unlike Rashi, he we sit for. What is the status, Rav Vosner's writing in Bnei Brak, in Eretz Yisrael, it's true in America, what is the status of the non-observant Jew today? Hine HaRitva Kedushin Lamed Beis, the Ritva Nardaf, Kashi Hiksha Kushis HaRishonim Al Rashi, low cost of Ketosos, Tafila Nados La'Koso Mutter, Elakosov, Darafil Bechav Kibbut Av, Kosha in Osa Maisa Imach, Potter Mikibbut Aveim, Mikosha Ken Kima Bafne Kol Adam. So the Ritva holds that if he's not Osa Masa Imach, if he's not with you in Torah and Mitzvos, then you're not obligated in Kibbut Aveim, right? Which is how the Ritva paskins, if a person, a Baal Tshuva, whose parents are non observant, not, again, we're not talking about Tinok Shenishba. A child of parents who intentionally, rebelliously reject Torah mitzvahs, right? Not Tinok Shenishba. They have the background, they had the education, but they reject it. So that child would be exempt from Kibbut Aveim. So all the more so, Kima b'fnei kol adam. Certainly before the stranger, they wouldn't have to stand. U'pashen ma'od Tinok Shenishba kapanim eino osa ma'ase imach. V'afilu nidon osa karasha b'shogeg. So the Ritva says, what's the category of the person whom you don't have to show honor to? Not that they are a Rasha in the sense that they're a wicked, evil person, but they're not Osa Maisa Imach. Imcha, they're not doing Torah mitzvahs. The lifestyles, your lifestyles don't shtim, your lifestyles are not the same. So if someone's lifestyle is inconsistent, it's incompatible with what Torah demands, that's enough that they're not included in the category. V'afilu lo nidon oso karasha b'shogeg. The Ritva is not saying such a person is a Rasha b'shogeg. He's saying such a person who's just not doing, they're not violating lahachas, could be l'tayavon, but they're not osa maisa imach, they're not doing it with you, so they are not due honor. Ibra etzam ha'alacha d'tinuk shenishba in a pshuta kokach. And says the Shevet HaLevi, even the whole category of tinuk shenishba is not so pashit. To abashas Shabbos, get the tinuk shenishba shu ka'onus, haino atshi odeh shu Yisrael. So, the Gemara in Shabbos, where do we get this expression, this phrase, Tinuk Shenishba? A Tinuk Shenishba is a baby, a child who's kidnapped as a child, and he's raised among a non-Jewish, non-observant population. So, what are you going to do? This child is kidnapped at 1 week old, and he's raised, and we only get him back when he's 20 years old. And at 20 years old, he never saw Shabbos, never heard of Kashrus, never heard of a Chumash, never saw a Gemara, never heard... And what are you going to say? He's Chayiv? We had in the daf. The Moridin v'lamalin, that you lower the mumer to the pit, you don't raise him out of it, which is essentially you let him die. It's not be a diamond, it's b'shev atase, but you set up circumstances that He's on his own. He dies. So what are you going to say? This 20-year-old who was kidnapped at 1 week, never heard of, never knew, never saw, never had role models, never had an education. Now you're going to say the Ribbono Shel Olam holds him accountable? And we should hold him accountable? That's what Tinuk Shenishba is. But that Gemara in Shabbos, says Rav Ozner, he's ka'onos. He's not accountable. How long? Ach Yodeshu Hu Yisrael. Until he reintegrates and re-enters the Jewish people. Kishakosav Rambam Perik Beis Mishkogos. He's not accountable for that which he did at 17 and 18 and 19. He was eating in Burger King and McDonald's and running around with the women and doing the this and doing the that. Mechal Shabbos with Baresia. That, he's a Tinuk Shanishba on what he did Bein Hagoyim. V'lo yada klal shu Yisrael. Ava mishanoda shu Yisrael v'asa neger haTorah achar kach hu adink Yisrael l'chol davar. But once he's educated, once he knows he's a Jew and what's expected of a Jew, so you can no longer say that he's innocent. And there's a Ramah who says that if you're a Tinuk Shenishba and you're not familiar with Halacha, then you don't treat him ka'akum that you could lend him with ribbis. He's still a Yisrael, but he's still like one of the Karoim in other sense. Can you, what happens if a father with his young katan son converts out of Judaism? Once upon a time you would sit Shiva when a person did that. So what about the child? Is the child anus? It's like a reverse situation now. He's kidnapped by his own Jewish father to join the non-Jewish people. Is the child anus and you mourn for him? Or emes ablan? Kasav ramah d'chein ikar. So he says, look in the Bir Agra, Kapanatina Shanishba Afilu Ben Agoyim Vaakshav Ben Yisraelim Yodeshu Yisrael, Afa Pishal Famim Eshel Achshiva Keshoge Gavafilu Onos, Bekomakam Kozman Sheinu Miskarv Liyadus, Al Kapanal Adam Mimimel Teavon, Vayin Yeredeil in Yenisina Staka Bechai Gavna, and so on. So Rav Ozner is quoting all these opinions that say that we too loosely define Tinuk Shanishba. We like to bandy around that term Tinuk Shanishba. That anybody who didn't get the zchus to go to a day school and have that education, they're not accountable, and we can treat them as Yisrael l'chol davar. And says Rav Ozner, that's not true. Tinuk Shenishba is kol zman that you're bein ha'amim, bein ha'akum. You don't know you're Jewish. But once you know you're Jewish and what's expected, or you've seen, or you've heard, so you no longer have that exemption, that out, that dispensation of being considered a Tinuk Shenishba. Lachain, this is his opinion, we'll expand on it in a moment, but let's just finish his opinion. Even if you want to say they're anusim, when they get upstairs, Kosh Baruch Hu is not going to hold them accountable. They didn't blow shofar, they didn't take lulav and esrog, they didn't light the Hanukkah candles because their chinuch didn't teach them any of that. But still, they know Torah Yisrael. So even if you want to say they have the status of onus, but that doesn't earn them the right for honor. And this is the key, what Rav Ozner is making this chiluk. That on the one hand, we assume that once you're a Tinuk Shenishba, being a Tinuk Shenishba means you're not accountable for what you don't know, and therefore we treat you like you're a Shomer Shabbos. So you'd stand for a 70-year-old Shomer Shabbos Am Ha'aretz. So you stand for the Shomer, for the Mechal Shabbos, because he's a Tinuk Shenishba. Comes along Rav Ozner and says, no, there's two separate criteria for which to evaluate and judge. When it comes to his responsibility for the mitzvahs he's not keeping, so there he has a poor chinuch. He's honest. He's a Tinuk Shenishba, legabe that. But legabe, deserving kavod, the kavod is due because he's Osa Maisa Imach. He does the lifestyle with you. He's not living an observant lifestyle, even if he's not responsible for the fact that he's not living the observant lifestyle. But if he's not living the observant lifestyle, he's not due the honor. Of course, throws in, there's a Kiddush Hashem, there'll be an appropriate thing. What will it do? I'm loosely translating. But what will it do that the frum guy got on the bus, you stood up, and then the 90-year-old Chiloni got up, nobody said boo. So there's episode Kiddush Hashem, Holech Petuma, he's a sweet, innocent, it's not his fault, he didn't know better. Show a little kavod his way. But you're not obligated in kavod and kima the way you are for the zaken ashmai, the way you are for the zaken who's a shomer Shabbos on ma'aretz. He says, v'ayin heite v'lashan ha-rambam, kesed mishna v'lechem mishna sham, v'imata v'advar m'ikal v'famim mitzvahs kiddush Hashem b'zeh. He says, today there's a kiddush Hashem even. You're not chayev, but there can be a kiddush Hashem where you're showing that kavod to the chiloni zaken nonetheless. Hold on, you know, I just want to finish the tshuva and then we'll hear everyone's rebuttal. The ayin, look at the shel Rambam, Perek Gimel Mamrim. Look at the lashon hakadosh of the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Mamrim. Alach Gimel Achri Shadivar Mikas Apikor Mikat Apikorsim Ketzadik Ubaisus. The Rambam writes about Bnei Atom Ha'ilu Bnei Bneim Sheidichu Asam Avosam. So the Rambam uses a lashon that the people who come from the kat apikorsim, like tzaduk and baisus, who are children of those who make a grave error, and their grandchildren, who the parents have miseducated them, and they were born among the Karayim, and they grew up, and that was their entire Valtanshang, it was their entire ethic, it was their entire educational worldview. They are like a Tinuk Shanishba Beneim, and they're not running to embrace mitzvahs, they're honest. Even though they heard later they're a Jew, and they saw Jews who live properly, but they're still an honest, because they've heard otherwise. I'll tell you, a reformed conservative Jew has that status today. Someone who's raised in the conservative movement, the reform movement, many of you don't really have interactions. I've met and have spent time with and admired passionate reform conservative Jews, rabbis, who feel that they're towing the line, they're on the front lines of Jewish continuity, they're dedicating their lives to Torah according to their interpretation. For us, it's a horrific distortion of our Torah HaKadosha. It's an egregious violation of Kvod Shamayim for us. And that has to be what informs part of our perspective. But they're also exactly what the Rambam here just described. They didn't leave the Orthodox day school to go join that. That's the world they come from. That's what they taught was correct. That's what all they know. Such a person is Ka'anas. Ka'anas. And therefore, says the Rambam, Roy la'achzirim b'tshuvo, l'mashchem b'divrei shalom, achiyachziru l'eson. You don't get up and call them a name and reject them and marginalize them and neglect them and put them down and exclude them. That's not going to solve anything. L'mashcham b'divrei shalom. You schlep them in with love, with tolerance, with peace, and so on, to be able to enlighten them to the right way. Uv'radvash sham kosov, denira, t'kosov zeh rabbeinu l'lam etzchus ala karoim. So the Radvaz interprets the Rambam, but the Rambam wrote this flattering, kind of flexible, open-minded language was only lalamed chus for the karoim. Alva bismanenu sharei b'chol yom and machzir nasam lamuto v'moshem nasam lahamim b'teira sheba per umecharfen umegadfen as balei akabala ve'in lodan as illa anusim elakofer b'torah sheba per. The Radvaz commenting on the Rambam says, yeah, the Rambam wrote all that language to be malamed chus on that population who never don't know better. But in our time, says the Radvaz, in Egypt, he lived in Egypt. In our time, David ben Zimri says, now they're not anusim. They're kofrim be'ikr. This is all theology. They're aware of, they're familiar. They've read Rabbi Soloveitchik's writings. They know there's a Rav Kook. They've been exposed to the emes of Torah. V'avanoseinu harabim, kachi bizmanenu. Says Rav Ozner, in our time, similarly. Sherov hachinach hachiloni hu lahachish Torah shebal peh. It's not just that the chinach is espousing a different theology. It's an anti-theology. U'mefarshim Mesoras Hamikra Neged Chazal, biblical criticism, biblical interpretation undermines our Mesora. Alken Kasha Liten LaHamamish Din Tinok Shenishba. It's very difficult to apply that title. Alfa Bisha Vada Anusay Meimai Dechinuch Harash Nuslehem. Alken Nira Hakanal Sha Akoponim Dai Behider Bedvarim Kenal. So his conclusion is that he does not believe that you apply Tinok Shenishba. Even if you do apply Tinok Shenishba, Tinuk Shenishba only makes you an honest to be exempt or to be not responsible for not observing halacha, but it doesn't mean that you're due the kavod, because that has to be osa maisa imcha. It has to be the person's living the lifestyle with you. But this Shevet HaLevi is not so pashut. The one who really, not the first, there were tshuvas long before him. If you go back to the Malamed Lahoel, he talks about a tinek shenishba. Malamed Lahoel and others, or David Zvi Hoffman, Hildesheimer, they were living in a time where there were, what do you do about a non-observant Jew? Can he count for a minyan? What do you do about a non-observant Jew? Can he get an aliyah? What do you do about a non-observant Jew? These shilas, today we take it for granted. Once upon a time, that was an earth-rattling shila, such a thing. So already then, they're applying the term tinuk shenishba, when they're talking about the person. Who is it? I think it's the, is it the Muhammad Lahawal? I think. Who has the first tshuva where he talks about Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia Dino Ka'akum, says the Gemara. When is it Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia Dino Ka'akum? When Chilul Shabbos was an act of
Lahachis.
Of Lahach, when you were a mummer.
Defiant.
It was defiant, it was rebelliousness, it was rejection. So what was a Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia in the yesteryear? The entire village, the entire ghetto, the entire community was Shomer Shabbos Yiri Shamayim. And you, not even, you went on your cell phone in the 1600s in your shtetl, privately. But you decided that when Shul was letting out Shabbos morning, you were going to, I don't know, you didn't have a cell phone, what was the act of being Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia? You were going to light up your cigar, in front of the Shul on Shabbos morning. Yitaka were a Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia, Dino Ka'akum. You were making a statement, I'm an Akum. I don't identify, my lot is not with the Jewish people. A few weeks ago we talked about in the Parsha Shir that the Rav elaborated on these phrases, what he calls Bris Sinai and Bris Avos. Bris Avos is what unites us as a nation. The Rav's famous Goral and Yehud, fate and destiny, right? What's the difference between the two? The Rav, Yehud and Goral, fate and destiny correlate with Bris Avos and Bris Sinai. Bris Sinai is that when the Torah was given, we are bound by a system of halacha that unites us. We have a lifestyle. We have halacha. There are expectations. There's rules. There's regulations. There's legislation. That's Bris Sinai. But there's also Bris Avos. Bris Avos says we have a shared history. We have a shared destiny. That we as a people have been targeted. We've been identified. We have achievements and triumphs. We have struggles and obstacles. That's Bris Avos. Sometimes somebody feels part of your Bris Avos even if they're not part of your Bris Sinai, right? So Reform and Conservative Jews feel connected in Bris Avos, right? Together we're fighting anti-Semitism. Together we're standing up for the modern state of Israel. Together there's a sharing of a people, of a culture that unites us. Even though Bris Sinai, obviously, not. So in the old days, Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia was spitting on Bris Sinai, spitting on Bris Avos, said, I'm not part of this community. He excluded himself. And therefore, Dino Ka'akum. And I think, I have to check, I think it was the Malam Lahol who first said that today's Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia, he's not trying to exit the community. It's now an option to be part of the community and be Mechala Shabbos. So therefore, it's not Dino Ka'akum. We don't treat Dino Ka'akum. And that's most poskim embraced that perspective. Even the strictest poskim began to embrace that perspective. And it has to do with a lot of things in the world of kashrus, pouring wine. It has to do with Bishul Akum. Would you apply it to a Mechala Shabbos? Is it Dino Ka'akum? Today's Daf Yomi, Bishul Akum. Would you apply it to a Would you apply Mechala Shabbos Befarhesia? Early on, there's discussions, right? But if you say today, it's not Dino Ka'akum. It applies to status, personal status issues. It applies to the Chazon Ish makes his comment based on what I told you, the Moridim V'Lomalim. The Mechala Shabbos, the Mumar Lahachas, you lowered in the pit, you didn't raise him out. Let him die. He's rejected his right to live. He's forfeited his right to live, so to say. And there the Chazon Ish says, whoa, not so fast. Tinek Shenishba Ben Ha'amim. Such a person who doesn't have the background, the knowledge, can't be held accountable in that way. So Rav Vosner here very, very, very comfortably says that today's Chiloni is not a Tinok Shenishba. But if you look at the Chazon Ish's language about Tinok Shenishba, Chazon Ish also was talking about the average Chiloni. He also lived in Bnei Brak long before Rav Vosner and overlapping with Rav Vosner. But he also was familiar with the Chiloni in Israel, and he held he was a Tinok Shenishba. that such an individual who doesn't have the background, doesn't have the knowledge, one can't have the expectation of him. But Rav Vosner's conclusion I find fascinating, legabe our Gemara, coming back to our Gemara, which is that you could be a tinuk shenishba and therefore onus. You could not be accountable for your not doing the right thing, and we will count you for a minion, and so on. But that doesn't mean that we have to stand for you. Because the standing for you is not a result of age alone. Zaken Ashmai, true, you're an Amma'aretz, but you have to minimally be a Shomer Shabbos. You have to be Osa Maisa Imcha in order... excuse me. In order to qualify. You have a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to... It was bothering me. The Rambam makes me happy.
Good.
Tinuk Shenishba is not just a physical exposure.
Exactly.
When Gerson the opposite, this is how you're brought up. There's a psychological permanence.
Exactly.
Which influences, and what you said, was the head of the Board of Jewish Education in New York, and you meet some very dedicated, serious people who believe a little differently.
Right.
But they're, and I guess what bothers me is Bisman Azed, how you were brought up and the environment in which you were brought up has a level of psychological permanence which affects how you see things and your hanaga. It's not just you know mitzvahs, but it has to be internalized.
Right.
You go to Eishah Torah, it's a different story.
I'll go even further, by the way. Somebody who's raised in a frum home, a frum environment, let's say they had a Rebbe who used to smack him, beat him around. And you know what? He went off the derech because a derech that includes having to be the subject of abuse pushes you off. He's also a tinuk shenishba. He's not a tinuk shenishba bein agoyim, he's a tinuk shenishba bein abusers. So will you expect that person also to not be accountable for the fact that they, this is not me, they're our poskim. We run the great risk, and I think that's what the Shevet HaLevi is being responsive to. We run the risk of being so liberal in this definition that, like, you know, your mother woke you for shacharis after your bar mitzvah, you were so upset, you gave up 3 minutes of sleep, you ran away from frumkeit, you're a teenage shenish. You can't become too. We still do have expectations. Someone does know better. Someone should be better. There are times that we say, you are accountable. So we leave that to our Gedolei Yisrael and Poskim to determine. But this is a very interesting, the general definition of Tinuk Shenishba, but it's an interesting application in terms of, do you have to stand for? But I leave you with Rav Vosner's conclusion, which was, even though he feels halachically you're not obligated to stand, Atz Kiddush Hashem, there are circumstances, nevertheless, you should be careful to. Just last comment. Yeah. So again, I think if it was Mishum Eva, right. So if the non-Jew sees that every Jew you stand for, he walks in the room, you don't, certainly Mishum Eva. Again, there's no downside. It's not like we're saying, like, I say dochalos, I say eating non-kosher here. It's this, what's the downside? You stood. So you did a little exercise. For some Jews, that's an enormous downside. But so you stood up. Okay, you stretched your legs. Okay. All right, Amir Tz Hashem. We'll see you next week.